From Greenville, South Carolina, we present... Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the book of Joshua. The focus is on verses 28 through 43 of chapter 10, in which we find Joshua engaging in what might be called a mopping-up operation. Having defeated the coalition of five kings, there was no serious threat now to the army of Israel. Yet Joshua continued the campaign of conquest until nearly all of the cities in Canaan were subdued. From this account, Dr. Cairns is drawing an important parallel for the lives of God's people regarding the matter of sanctification, or holy living. In the course of the message, we'll see the importance of dealing with that which seems insignificant, but which may keep us back from living successfully for Christ. An important principle illustrated in the text is that Joshua pressed the battle when there seemed to be no immediate threat. God's people must not pursue sanctification only when there is a crisis. A temporary lull in the battle against sin does not mean permanent triumph. Constant vigilance is the only way to certain victory, for other foes remain to be conquered. Before Dr. Cairns continues the message, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 51 and verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God. When Dr. Carey was suffering from a dangerous illness, the inquiry was made, if this sickness should prove fatal, what passage would you select as the text for your funeral sermon? He replied, Oh, I feel that such a poor, sinful creature is unworthy to have anything said about him. But if a funeral sermon must be preached, let it be from the words, Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. In the same spirit of humility, he directed in his will that the following inscription, and nothing more, should be cut on his gravestone. William Carey, born August 17, 1761, died. A wretched, poor, and helpless worm, on thy kind arms I fall. Only on the footing of free grace can the most experienced and most honored of the saints approach their God. The best of men are conscious above all others that they are men at the best. Empty boats float high, but heavily laden vessels are low in the water. Mere professors can boast, but true children of God cry for mercy upon their unprofitableness. We have need that the Lord should have mercy on our good works, our prayers, our preachings, our almsgivings, and our holiest things. The blood was not only sprinkled upon the doorposts of Israel's dwelling houses, but upon the sanctuary, the mercy seat, and the altar. Because as sin intrudes into our holiest things, the blood of Jesus is needed to purify them from defilement. If mercy needed to be exercised towards our duties, what shall be said of our sins? How sweet the remembrance that inexhaustible mercy is waiting to be gracious to us, to restore our backslidings, and make our broken bones rejoice.
And
What is it that constitutes revival? Is it a week of special meetings held at a local church? Is it an organized effort at door-to-door evangelism? Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England and Wales under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America, associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches had to be built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation by God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling, or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs, made out to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of The Revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be greatly blessed as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
We are not to pursue sanctification only in a crisis. I want you to notice that very clearly. When Joshua moved against them, these cities were quiet. They were offering no opposition. They were mounting no attacks. There were no armies coming out of these defensed positions. There were no slings being used to hurl missiles at the children of Israel. We read in verse 21, "None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel." After that great battle at Beth Horon, when the five kings of the Confederacy of the South were utterly defeated, there was a fear fell on all the surrounding districts, and not a dog would move his tongue against the children of Israel. So that part of the land at that particular time had fallen silent. Now, the enemy had not changed his purpose in any way. He still meant to drive Joshua back. The enemy had not changed his attitude in any degree. He still hated Joshua with an entire hatred. It simply suited the enemies of Israel at that time to lie low. But Joshua recognized that an enemy lying low is not an enemy defeated. An enemy lying low is not an enemy defeated. And that's why Joshua set out against these various kings and their cities in that quietened area. He was not at the point of a great crisis. He was not feeling the crunch of severe opposition, but he believed and knew from God it was still a time when he had to pursue the advantage. The old saying, strike when the iron's hot. When an enemy is on the run, keep him on the run. It doesn't take you to be a master of military tactics to know that. Don't let him regroup. Don't let him get strong enough to start his attack all over again. Joshua recognized that, and so he set out against these enemies. Now, that's a lesson we do very well to learn. We should not mistake temporary lulls in the activity of our sins as permanent victories over those sins. That's a great folly that we find in Christians all too often. Every preacher knows this when he's called upon to counsel with Christians. They jump to a baseless optimism. They have battled some great sin, they have had some victory, and then there seems to be a lull in their lives, and they jump to the conclusion that everything is now under control. I don't really need any more help. I'm really riding high here. I have the victory. And all they have is a temporary lull in the activity of their lusts. Their optimism is baseless, and it will lead them to greater troubles than ever before. I think we have all experienced that. I think we have all made that mistake. I think that we should learn that sanctification is something you pursue not merely when you are in a crisis, but at all times. And if God has given you some victory, then pursue that victory. Employ that victory. And don't sit back thinking the battle's over. We see the same truth, though from a slightly different perspective and using a different illustration, in the case of Asa in 2 Chronicles 14, verses 5 through 7. We find that when the Lord gave Asa rest from his enemies, instead of sitting back saying, "My, it's great to have rest," what he did was to use the opportunity to strengthen his hand against the enemies who were then quiet but who were sure to rise up again. Thus we read in 2 Chronicles 14, 5, "The kingdom was quiet before him, and he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest." And he had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. "Therefore," said he unto Judah, "let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us." And that was a very wise precaution, because if you read on just into the next verse, you'll discover that the Ethiopians came with an army 1 million strong against the little country of Judah. Wasn't it a good thing that Asa had employed the time when there was quietness to be strong for the battle? It's exactly the same lesson, though in slightly different circumstances, that Joshua learned and we must learn. There are times when your lusts and your temptations appear to subside. There are times when the flesh is not as active in certain areas as it was before. But be very careful. The flesh is never more dangerous than when you think that it's not dangerous. temptation is never more likely to overcome you than when you think you don't need to be wary of that temptation. We tend to make the awful mistake of waiting until we're in a crisis before we pursue the battle against our sin. Men and women, we must keep constant watch. We must seek to destroy every stronghold of sin in our hearts. There must be that constant, serious, honest pursuit of sin, where we hunt down the things in our lives that are grieving to God, not wait until we're in big trouble. It's my experience that everybody, even the wickedest of sinners, sounds very holy when he's in big trouble. The spiritual man has the same attitude to sin when he's not in a crisis. We don't pursue sanctification, therefore, only in a crisis. The second lesson is this. After a major victory, we should remember that there are still many other foes of holiness that we have yet to conquer. Joshua conquered the great confederacy. Now, that undoubtedly was the most serious attack mounted to date on the children of Israel. Five kings of five important cities got together, and they obviously felt, they had an advantage. They took the attack. They drew Joshua to the battle where they wanted the battle, when they wanted the battle, under the conditions they wanted the battle. Those were all for them striking advantages. And Joshua defeated that great confederacy. But when he looked around that southern sector, he could see all these cities just beside the Kiev or near the Kiev where he had slam the five kings. There was Makeda. It needed to be reduced. Then there was Libna. Then there was Lachish. Then the king of Gezer came. Then there was Eglon. There was Hebron. There was Debir. All these places needed to be reduced. He had defeated the big enemy, but the little enemies were still there to be defeated. We tend to concentrate on what we imagine are big sins, and we think that sanctification is really proceeding when we don't commit these big sins. Now, it's very important that we do not commit those big sins. It is an awful shame on the name and testimony of Jesus Christ when God's people are caught up in extremes of wickedness and worldliness. We ought to defeat the big sins. But we ought also to remember the words of Song of Solomon 2:15. Take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. A different figure of speech, but exactly the same truth as we find here in Joshua 10. The little foes to holiness, the sins that we tend to overlook as being of little consequence, actually halt the progress of more Christians than do the big sins. Let's look at ourselves. I would hope that I could look at this congregation and say to you who are saved that you're not living in drunkenness, and you're not living in adultery, and you're not living in theft, and you're not living in murder and pillage and all that sort of thing. I would hope that your life is morally pure and clean, because I tell you it ought to be. I would hope that you're not filling your mind with all the filth and the pornography of the world and all the ungodly wickedness of this age. These are big things. But as you look at your life and say, well, thank God he has delivered me from those things, yet you must look again and recognize, I am not what I ought to be. I don't have the power in my life that I ought to have. I'm not enjoying Christ as I should enjoy him. I'm not a witness for Christ as I should be. So what is wrong? It's not the adultery and the fornication and the murder and all the big things that are keeping me back. It's the smaller enemies. We tend to overlook them.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.